Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. Craig, let's start off with a broad comment that I'm going to make regarding commodities. Maybe outside of energy and oil, which oil has done well, it's struggling a little bit today. I'm seeing that commodities, when it comes to base metals, it's starting to lose some of its momentum. Now, precious metals, those have already been in a downtrend and seem to be continuing this, let's call it range-bound trading, maybe with a little bit of a downtrend in it. But certain things like recent highs in copper, copper sold off on the back of that. It hasn't fully rolled over, but the action even today is showing a little bit more weakness to end the week here for the base metals. What's your takeaway from a little bit of a loss of momentum for commodities broadly here?
Yeah, you know, in general, the commodities have all rallied ever since the election of Biden. You know, the dollar fell, in a pretty straight downward channel until late last week. And so it had two solid months of declining dollar. And, you know, there was some rationale for commodity bull market on top of that, you know, and breakouts. And that, you know, I don't know how much Biden wants to dedicate towards some type of infrastructure spending and stimulus. And obviously you've got dollar holders around the world, you know, that hold dollars as foreign currency reserves, you know, continuing to diversify out of dollars into all sorts of things. So there was some rationale for that trade. In fact, from November the 5th through January the 5th, about the only thing that wasn't going up was gold. You know, silver was even doing okay. And so now here we are, about a week into it. You know, that trade works pretty well in the end of the year. Everybody writes about it in their year-end newsletter. Everybody gets excited in the first week of January and starts thinking this is going to be this big year and a breakout. And so what do you get? All of a sudden you get a correction and a consolidation. And I suppose in many contrarian regards, maybe that was to be expected. And, you know, you look at the dollar index and it had gotten to where, again, after 2 months of pretty well straight down, it's due for a bounce as well. We'll keep an eye on it, see if it gets over 91 on a weekly closing basis. You know, that might open it back up to 92 and then maybe even 94. If that happens, yeah, that's not going to be good for the commodities or the precious metals. But for now, you know, with hindsight always being 2020, it's like, okay, I could sure see why by the early part of last week we were maybe set for a little pullback.
Now, Craig, let's talk about near-term catalysts then, because this week we even got another spending bill proposed by Biden. I keep on hearing about, you know, how all this government spending is good for commodities, and it is, but maybe we can make the argument that at least so far, some of these recent spending bills have already been priced in on the back of some of these runs in commodities. What's next in terms of a catalyst for the either precious metals or just the broad commodity sector?
Oh boy, this might be a long answer. I'll try to break it up a little bit about that. I think in first of all, the main thing to understand is you and I, as rational thinking, carbon-based traders, can see those fundamentals. Like what's been announced now or planned over the last month, $3 trillion in U.S. debt, $3 trillion in U.S. deficit spending. What's that going to make the deficit there? $5 trillion? That money's got to come from somewhere. You know, it's going to come from the Fed. And so you look at that and you think, well, that should be bearish for the dollar. And so the dollar's rallying. Well, why? Well, technical factors, like I said, it gets so deeply oversold, eventually it bounces. But then you look at just the action today, Corey, and this is, it's great when the machines and the high frequency trading algorithms are working in your favor. It's like, woo, isn't this fun? And then when they work against you, it gets to be extremely frustrating. And so today's a great example of that. Fundamentally, as you mentioned, the picture for, you know, gold, even silver, it's great, right? All this money printing and, you know, the madness and all that kind of stuff. But the price is falling. Why is the price falling? Well, these algos, the pre-programmed HFTs, see a rise in the dollar, and then they move to sell commodities and sell gold because of that. Okay, well, why is the dollar rallying? I scoured the internet today trying to find out besides just a technical reason. And one of the articles I found was that the dollar was rallying, again, as measured by the dollar index, because the euro is falling, and the euro makes up about 60% of the dollar index. Okay, why is the euro falling? Well, the reason given for that was a slowing rollout and inefficiencies in rolling out the COVID vaccines in Europe. So then we got to bring it all the way back around to the beginning. if gold is falling because the dollar is rallying, and the dollar is rallying because the euro is falling, and the euro is falling because of COVID inefficiencies with the rollout, vaccine rollout, then at the end of the day, gold's falling because of inefficiencies of a vaccine rollout in Europe. Does that make any sense to anybody? Of course not. But, you know, it's how things are priced. You got the futures tail wagging the spot dog, and this futures trading is what leads the spot market. And so, therefore, at the end of the day, the best strategy continues to be just use this odd weakness, this computer-driven weakness, to your advantage, you know, and buy metals at a discounted price. Now, I'll stop there for a second. You can ask me in the second part of your question.
Well, here, let's take it a step further then and talk about, I get the catalyst aspect of it, but what about the relationship to the underlying U.S. equity market? So much focus seems to be in markets, U.S. markets, and they have just kept on moving higher. But this week, they did start to show a little bit of some weakness, too. So how correlated are any moves of commodities to U.S. markets as well?
Yeah, you wonder about that, right? Again, because everything's been moving up, everything but gold, really, since November the 5th. And I've seen some interesting charts, some technical analysis that's done that says, you know, look at the S&P is kind of in a rising wedge, which typically if you break down is quite bearish, and the dollar's in a falling wedge, which if you break up is quite bullish. So maybe those two things will, you know, kind of continue as we get deeper into this month and next and lead to at least a pullback for a while in equities, which perversely maybe helps us a little bit, you know, if you get this rotation out of that high alpha, you know, hey, we're just going to buy Tesla and Bitcoin. Instead, people start to lock in gains and then look for value, which can certainly be found in the mining sector at this point. The other thing, I guess, that I wanted to get back to that was a part of your question is what turns it. Look, the last couple of years have been strong bull markets in the precious metals for, you know, obvious reasons, you know, rallying in the bond markets globally and declining real rates. You had big rallies in 2019, January through early September. Last year, January through early August, both 19 and 20 saw consolidation and pullback in the final 3 or 4 months of the year. And then they both ended around 21, and last year was 24%. Maybe this year it's not that easy. It's not that predictable. You don't just get an 8-month rally and then a 4-month pullback again. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you get a 4-month continuation of this and then a rally into year end. What would prompt that, and what I've basically based all of my price forecasts on, is that I believe eventually the Fed is telling us that they are going to institute some form of yield curve control. It'll come in stages. Okay, already that, what's a 10-year? 1.10? I don't know what level they begin to get uncomfortable. Maybe it's 1.25, 1.5. Who knows? Maybe it was 1. And the Fed, what they'll do first, this will come in stages because they, you know, they like to jawbone. They don't like to actually, you know, utilize their tools because they want to keep them in their toolbox, as they say. But we might look for first in 2 weeks, a week from Wednesday, will be a notion in the Fed headlines and you know, in the headline, you know, that they put out and Powell comes out and talks about that. A couple of participants are now in favor of extending the maturities of our existing QE program, meaning that instead of just bills and short-term notes, they want to look at 7-year notes and 10-year notes and 20-year bonds and 30-year bonds. That would be enough to spook a lot of bond bears, you know, and all of a sudden you start talking about maybe a Fed put on rates. Well, if that doesn't work, then the next thing would be a couple of, you know, by March or April, a couple of the participants wanted us to restudy the history of and use practical use of direct overt yield curve control. If that doesn't work to convince the bond market that there's a ceiling on rates, then by summertime, they actually formalize that policy like they did at Jackson Hole back in August in formalizing, you know, their acceptance of higher, you know, an average inflation, not just a straight up 2%. That's the direction we're going. Once that get slapped on, you know, whether it's just jawboning of yield curve control or the actual thing, then you're going to see real interest rates falling again, the dollar falling again, and that'll turn not only the commodities but the precious metals. That's kind of the bigger picture answer.
Yeah, that's fair. And you know what? Right now there are just some weird moves going on in the treasury market, and yields, although they're showing a little bit of weakness at the end of this week, they have been rising. Still, I get it, at very low levels, but the direction is what is important, and that definitely has been, I think, weighing on some of the precious metals. Craig, do you have a preference right now between gold or silver when you're looking at some of your investments? Because silver, one thing I've really noticed is it started trading more hand in hand as, let's say, a base metal. I get it. It has all these industrial uses, but just throughout the last couple of weeks, I've seen a lot more correlation between silver and the base metals in rather than silver and gold.
Yeah, you know, and you know, a lot of the investment houses and research firms that have come out with $40 and $50 price targets for this year, they base their forecasts on that very same rationale. You know, it used to be the $50 price target was just discussed, you know, by us crazy gold bugs, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But now, I mean, it's mainstream. I mean, there's actual investment banks, investment houses that are talking up silver, and it's because if it's industrial uses and they're bullish on commodities and all that kind of stuff. So from that regard, you know, and some people get excited. They see, they track and chart and use technical analysis on the gold silver ratio. You know, in that regard, maybe silver's, I guess, more bang for your buck. I mean, we certainly see that the last couple of years, last year in particular, when silver was up maybe twice the percentage of gold, you know, 24 versus 48%. This year will probably be a continuation of that, provided I'm correct about, you know, the underlying fundamentals of all of this deficit spending and the Fed needing to inflate that away as a way of managing the debt. And they've done this in the past through the imposition of yield curve control. They did that in the 40s and the 50s. That's why I think they'll do it again. So I'm right about that. Then, yeah, you know what? Silver is going to have a lot of industrial demand, but it's also going to be this great play as real interest rates fall. So, yeah, for bigger gains in the months ahead, yeah, maybe that's silver, but I still love gold, man. I own gold on a percentage basis more than I own silver, just because I think when the monetary system eventually breaks, as all monetary systems do, that, you know, kind of trend in the direction we're going, I think gold will probably be revalued at some point quite a bit higher. So I own gold as a, you know, kind of a vehicle, see me through the storm, but silver as a trade in the months ahead might give you more bang for your buck.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely seeing some more volatility out of silver, too. So silver always does provide that sort of leverage, but you do need to be cognizant of that leverage on the downside, I guess, too. Craig,
oh boy,
great chatting with you, buddy. Have a great rest of your day, a great weekend. We'll reconnect next week, man.
Sounds good, my friend. All the best.